strangest final few minutes of that game. Like three goals that none of them went off a stick of the guy scoring the goal.
Yeah.
Sean Campbell joins us from TSN 690 in Montreal, where they just learned that Brandon Prust gets a two-game suspension. Who will replace him in the lineup, Sean?
I can only assume it's going to be Mikael Bornival coming in. He's been getting a lot of playing time. He was a guy that was taken out when they got some healthy bodies like Alex Galchenyuk back in the lineup. So I would think that he would be first in line. And watching the Rangers' speed versus Montreal so far in this series, they need a guy like Mikael Bornival that can skate, because it is evident Rangers are definitely quicker than Montreal. And that's saying a lot, because Montreal is labeled as a fast team.
What's your thoughts on suspension as a guy who follows the Canadiens closely?
Well, looking at the play initially, I just really thought that they missed a penalty. And the main reason is because Stepan came back into the game. Now this morning, Alain Vigneault comes out and says he has a fracture of the jaw. Is it? And the debate today on the airs on TSN 690 was really, did he get it on the hit? Because he was reviewed, he came back, he was yapping, he was talking, he played the rest of the game. He actually was in on the game-tying goal that Chris Kreider had. And he also went into the boards, tried to hit Alexi Yemelin, so people thought maybe that's where he fractured his jaw. So my point was, there was no injury on the play. It was a penalty that they just missed. So I thought he'd get fined, no suspension. But when the injury came out for Derek Stepan, right away I was like, okay, he's definitely getting the game. But now I understand the two games. I think he gets the game because it was a late hit and an illegal play, an interference. And I think he gets the second game because it was really late. The puck was the hit was at one blue line and the puck was at the other blue line. This was a play that was illegal, and now you have a player that was hurt. So I think that it's understandable. Prior to the injury, I would have said zero games, but now that you have Derek Stepan hurt, I said one on the air today, and it ended up being two.
Stepan goes out. What are you hearing about Derek Brassard?
Derek Brassard, he's been day-to-day since game one. He took that hit from Mike Weaver pretty much almost on the first shift of the game in game one. It didn't look too bad, but he never returned. Alain Vigneault has been being a little coy, but it seems that Derek Brassard is very close to coming back. They're going to have to replace Carcillo as well. So I would think Derek Brassard or JT Miller, or maybe even both, get in the lineup, depending on what's happening with Stepan.
How has, the mindset of Tokarski been? I mean, we know it's easy to come in and play one game, and then you start thinking about it. Time passes, like, oh my God, I'm in the Stanley Cup Conference Finals. Can this guy keep a level head?
I think so. This guy, he's, you know, World Junior, Memorial Cup, Calder Cup. He has all those championships. He hasn't really gotten the taste of the NHL, and now he's getting thrown into the Eastern Conference final mix. It's interesting today that Michel Therrien, when he's speaking to the media, he actually said he consulted two of the leaders, Josh Georges and Brian Gionta, about making the move to Tokarski over Budaj, and they supported his decision. Now Peter Budaj is one of the best team players. If you saw the image of Budaj, congratulations to Tokarski yesterday. I think everybody understands what kind of teammate he is, and everybody would play for him. But Tokarski, Michel Therrien just had a feeling about it. And it's interesting because before game two, he really didn't divulge who his starter was going to be, and he did it a little bit late on Tokarski. He didn't tell him right away, and then he finally got the start. After the game, you know, when you had 2 days before game three, from Monday until Thursday, Michel Therrien told everybody ahead. He never tells the media when there could be a question mark. He likes to keep everything close to you. He said, no, Tokarski's starting game three. I think he wanted to make sure that Tokarski's mindset was in the right place, even though he lost game two, that he was going to be the starter on the road. And I think that allowed him to prepare better. Now you know that he's going to be the starter in game four because of his performance at MSG. So I think he now knows that there's not really a debate. He's the guy that they're going to be going with. Barring a complete collapse, you're not going to see Peter Budaj. Dustin Tokarski, right now, he has the proper mindset of a starting goalie.
Sean Campbell joins us from TSN 690 in Montreal. P.K. Subban, it was interesting, you know, you're looking at his play early on. Like, that first goal last night is a play he wouldn't have made in the Boston series. Is his focus being off, do you think, at all, Sean? Was he trying too hard? Subban hasn't been as dominant so far in this series as he was against Boston.
No, well, he had 12 points in the first two series combined, and now he has 0 points heading into game four. First two games, he played well. He was still Montreal's most dominant player. Game three was probably his worst game of the playoffs, and I think that was resentful working the post-game show yesterday, working on air today as well. And I was kind of saying, I think that's a good thing. The Montreal Canadiens just won a hockey game with Max Pacioretty not scoring. He played well, but he didn't score. PK Subban with his worst game. Thomas Plekanec with his worst game. No Carey Price. Josh Georges and Alexei Yemelin, they had a rough game as well. And they still picked up the win. And the Montreal Canadiens will have one of their games, one of the games where they're going to be able to piece everything together, and they should be able to pick up the victory in that one. Now, can they do that consistently the rest of the way? Because there is a big question mark around Dustin Tokarski. PK Subban having a bad game, I think it's almost like a one-off. This is a guy who's a gamer. Yesterday, it just wasn't his game. It's almost like on the other side, Ryan McDonagh is a great defenseman. Yesterday wasn't his best game either. He had a couple full pause for the New York Rangers. So I think in the end, these guys, every hockey player has that off game, but it's just, I think, nice for the Montreal Canadiens to pick up the win with PK being that off. Because that was just almost everything going wrong. Even if you're watching the play after he loses the puck and the 2-on-1 goes the other way, he can't even pick up his stick. He's chasing him down. He's picking up the wrong guys at the wrong time. It was a rough one for him.
You know, I watched PK Subban, and the guy, he's developing right in front of our eyes, becoming a more complete player. But in your opinion, is PK at times guilty of trying to do too much by himself?
Always. And it's, you know, he tries to win a game on one shift. And we talk about it all the time. And it could be the second shift of the first period. And he thinks that, you know, if he goes and scores his goal and he goes, does something spectacular, the game will be over. And it's unbelievable that he has that process. And, you know, it's unbelievable that he has the ability to go and do that. But sometimes I think he needs to go and just settle down a little bit, let his forwards do the work. He doesn't have to put it all on his shoulders, especially if the team's losing by two in the second period. He wants to be the guy. He wants to be a go-to guy. He wants to be the hero. He has no problem putting the pressure on himself. But sometimes it's to his detriment. And I think we've witnessed it here in Montreal all season long. But there has been steady development and steady growth. And in the playoffs, I think that he is picking and choosing the right time. That's why he's had success. Just yesterday just wasn't it. Even when he tried to do anything, it just looked completely wrong for him.
Alex Galchenyuk gets a goal, you know, off his body, just going to the net. You know, he's coming off of an injury. He seems to be making more of an impact every game, Sean. Just talk about maybe what kind of a difference maker Galchenyuk can potentially be in this lineup now that he's regular and healthy.
Well, it's interesting because Alex Galchenyuk was really missed against the Boston Bruins when Mikhail Bornival, the guy who he retook his spot, was in there, because Bornival got a chance to play on the left wing with Plekanec and Vanek. And there was one game where Vanek set up Bornival four times and probably would have been a hat trick for Alex Galchenyuk because the offensive ability that he has to go to the net to just a shot. Mikhail Bornival, he gets that shot. He just, sometimes he has that, we kind of call it the junior shot. You know, he's still a young kid trying to develop. He may not have the NHL power yet. The guy doesn't stop. He's relentless. He skates beautifully, but he's still developing his shot. He's still developing his offensive ability. Is he really a top six forward? I think everybody understands he's going to be a third and fourth line guy. But with Alex Galchenyuk in that lineup, it just creates that offensive flair, that offensive know-how. When he's in and around the net, he can make an extra move. He can have a shot that's going to be able to beat a goaltender like Henrik Lundqvist. And I think that that's the little thing that's missing with him in the lineup that they didn't have against the Boston Bruins. Now, yes, it wasn't the prettiest goal, and anybody could have scored, with a shot off his neck. But he was at the right place at the right time, and he was playing with two guys that were struggling, and he was able to get the game-winning goal because the Montreal Canadiens, they had to score early on that overtime because if it went any length, they would have been done.
Sean, enjoyed Montreal. The city, I'm guessing, is reawakened after that overtime victory now, and everybody will be fired up. They just have to party for 2 days until game four on Sunday.
Yeah, it was pretty sad after the Carey Price injury, trust me. It was very difficult. You're in the Eastern Conference Final, and the city just felt like it was done. But now the city's back alive and well, and they're just waiting for Sunday, so they got Friday and Saturday just to enjoy themselves.
Well, enjoy it, Sean. I appreciate your time.
Have a good one, Jason.